Find Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. I want to ask you to join me in standing as I read from the Word of God today. I've given today's message this title, Don't Quit Before You Finish. Think about that. Don't quit before you finish. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes these words, Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a great passage for us to look at and to take to heart on this first Sunday of the new year. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you today for all that you've done in this place. Thank you, God, for our connection group times this morning. Thank you for every person who came and those who taught your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time to worship you today, that we could lift our voices in song and give you the praise that you're so worthy of. Thank you that now we have the opportunity to look into your word, and we invite your sweet Holy Spirit to look into our hearts. God, I pray that you'll speak to us today. Lord, I ask today that you would forgive me of my sin. I pray that you cleanse my heart. I pray that you would empty me of me, and I pray that you would fill me up with you. And I ask today that you would give me that which I do not deserve. God, give me the ability, the strength, the words to say to this congregation of people. And Lord, I pray that whenever we said the final amen and we all go home and go our separate ways, that we'll all be able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. You know, I've always believed that the Apostle Paul must have been a sports fan. And one of the reasons I believe that is because so many times in his writings, he compares the Christian life to some kind of an athletic event. For example, he compared the Christian life to being like boxing. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26, Paul said, So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's talking about someone who is a boxer. He also compared the Christian life to being like wrestling, or as we like to say, wrestling. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. He said the Christian life is like a wrestling match. He also compared the Christian life to being like racing or running. 1 Corinthians 9:24, he said, Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And in the text that I've read today in Philippians chapter 3, I think Paul is comparing the Christian life again to being like a race. Some commentators believe he's talking about a foot race. Some believe that he's talking about a chariot race. We know that he was not talking about a NASCAR race. So when he talks about racing, in order to understand the text, you have to put it in the context of the previous verses. So if you still have your Bible there, look back in same chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 10, where he says, that I might know him. That's speaking of Jesus. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. What Paul was saying was, I want to be like Jesus. Now, Paul already knew Jesus, But what he was saying was, I want to know him more. I want to know him better. I want to be more like Jesus than I've ever been before. Wouldn't it be a great goal for every one of us in the room today to say that in 2023, I want to be more like Jesus than I was in 2022. I want to know him more. I want to know him better. I think what Paul was saying is, I want to have a deeper and a wider and a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Whenever you really put it in its context, Paul was taking a little bit of time to do some self-evaluation of his life. And that's what a lot of people do on New Year's, right? A new year, you turn the page, a brand new year, and it's a time that people begin to reflect and people begin to think and begin to look at their lives and say, now, I need to evaluate my life. What are some things I need to do a little different? What are some things I need to do a little better in the coming new year? That's why so many people make New Year's resolutions, right? It's because they're evaluating their lives and say, I want to do better at this. The number one New Year's resolution that people will make this year is, I'm trying to say this delicately. I want to get myself in better shape. I want to lose a few pounds. That's why on your television already they're going to be telling you all the good deals you can get by joining Planet Fitness or some other place. Because they know the number one resolution is, I want to get in better shape. I want to eat better. I want to exercise more. That's the number one goal. The number one New Year's resolution that's broken is, I want to get in better shape this year. So Paul is not talking about his physical life. He's talking about his spiritual life. And Paul, in looking at his own life, what he was looking at, he was asking himself, how am I doing in my pursuit of Christ? How am I doing in this Christian race? Am I running the race as God would have me to run? And you know, if you know the rest of the story, Paul will come to a time in his life when he will write these words, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. But that's not where he is right now. There are sermons to be preached. There are souls to be won. There are churches to be planted. There are letters to be written. There's so much more that needs to be done. And so as he looks at his life, he said, I need to do some things a little bit better. And here's a good thing for you and I to do today. Ask yourself this question. How am I doing in my spiritual life? In my relationship to Jesus Christ? In running of this Christian life? How am I doing? I know that you want to be able to come to the end of your life, as I do, and say, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. But I'm going to say to you, this is not that day. We're not there yet. The prize is still in front of us. Our heart is still beating. Our influence is still being felt. There are still things that need to be done. And so what I'm saying to you today is, don't quit before you finish. There's lots to be done. No matter who you are, how old you are, how young you are, this is a good time to evaluate your life. So look at the text with me today for just a few moments. And let's look at what Paul says as he evaluates his own life and see if we can learn some things from it as well. Number one, I want you to look with me about the awareness of Paul. Look at verse 12, if you will. Once again, verse 12, the awareness of Paul. Paul said, not as though I had already attained. What Paul was saying was, he was not perfect. I have not attained. I have not, we would say, arrived. Paul, the apostle, said, I have not arrived. And just for some of you in the room that you might know, in your spiritual pilgrimage, you have not arrived. I have not arrived. As a matter of fact, we'll not arrive until he arrives. And so there's always improvement that can be made. Paul was saying, I'm looking at my life spiritually, and Paul was saying, I am not satisfied with where I am in my spiritual life. Did you hear that today? Paul the apostle said, I am not satisfied with where I am in my spiritual life. Think about who said that. This is the man who got saved on a street called Straight. This is the man who went to the seminary in the Arabian desert and had no instruction except the Word of God and the Spirit of God. This is the man who went on three missionary journeys, who literally rimmed the Mediterranean Sea, leading souls to Christ, planting churches, defeating the devil. This is the man who stood on Mars Hill and encountered the intellectuals of the day. This is the man who spent more time in a prison than he did behind a pulpit. This is the man who was the mentor to young preacher boys like Timothy and Titus. This is the man that when you read about him, that he healed the lame and he cast out demons and he cured those who were sick and he raised the dead. And yet that man said, I have not arrived. I'm not satisfied with my spiritual life. I have room for improvement. So the question is, if a man like Paul looked at his life and said, I have not arrived, where does that put you and where does that put me? Neither have we arrived. So Paul looked at his life. The awareness of Paul is, first of all, he said, I am not perfect. But the second thing that he does, still there in verse 12, Paul says that he was pursuing. He said, but I follow after. That is, Paul said, I'm not perfect. But what Paul was saying was, I am pursuing perfection. I want to become everything that God wants me to be. When the phrase there says, I follow after, it actually means I aggressively and energetically am pursuing something that he's running after with all of his heart. I follow after that I may apprehend the one who I've been apprehended by. The word apprehend, by the way, is found three times there in our text. It is a word that means to grasp or to seize. He said, I've not yet fully grasped why it was that God grasped me. Do you hear what Paul said? You remember his story. He was on the road to Damascus, and he was going to persecute Christians and put them to death. But while he was on his road there, you remember the bright light that came shone from heaven, and the Lord Jesus spoke to him. He said, God apprehended me there. God seized me there. God grasped me there. And God grasped me for a purpose. That is, God had something that he wanted me to do. He said, I'm not yet fully apprehended that for which I have been apprehended. Paul said, but that's my pursuit. My job is I'm trying to become more and more like him. Ever since Paul met the Lord Jesus on a street called Straight, his desire was to pursue Jesus Christ with all his heart. Yet he had not arrived, but that was his goal. Striving after, trying to get better. There needs to be a little bit of a holy dissatisfaction in our lives whenever we look at our lives and see that we fall short of being everything that God wants us to be. Years ago, my son and I went to the Players Golf Tournament. This was many years ago. We went out to watch the greatest golfers in all the world play the game of golf. My son at that time was a fan of Freddie Couples, and so we got behind Freddie Couples, and we were following Freddie around the golf course. And if my memory serves me right, we got somewhere between hole number 4 and hole number 5, and we were watching, as several others were, as we were following Freddie along. But we noticed between hole number 4 and hole number 5, there was a larger crowd just standing there at those two holes then were actually following the man who was playing the golf. And what I found out was between, I think, number 4 and number 5 is the back side of the driving range. And on the back side of the driving range, there were other golfers who were practicing. And on the back side of the driving range was another golfer by the name of Tiger Woods. Tiger had already played that day, but he had not played very well that day. And so he was on the backside of the driving range with a a chip shot. He was trying to chip it up on the green, and there was a larger crowd watching him practice than were actually watching others playing the game. But what struck me about that was, here was the man who, at least at that time, was known as the greatest golfer playing in the world. But what he was saying was, I'm not satisfied with the way I played today. And so I'm out here practicing while everybody else is still playing. I'm out practicing. When I think about that, I think about you and I, and me and I, our spiritual life. We understand we're not perfect, that there's room for improvement in our life, but we also need to understand that I ought to be pursuing that perfection, become more and more like Jesus Christ. I'm asking you today to look at your life, to evaluate your life, see where you are spiritually, and I'm asking you today, please, please, don't quit before you finish. There's much more to be done. There's a second thing I notice in this passage of Scripture. Not only do we find the awareness of Paul, but look at verse 13. We find the allegiance of Paul. The allegiance of Paul. In verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before." So two things there. Number one, he was correcting in the first part of verse 3. Paul was correcting, actually he was correcting theological errors. Whenever he uses that little word brethren, it reminds you that he's writing to believers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. To call them brethren, it's a dear term. It is an intimate term. It's a gentle term. It is a family term, right? Bill Gaither said, you'll notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. So he's saying, brethren, he's talking to the brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. That's the third time that he's used that word. That is, he's saying, but Paul is saying, I want to say this to you again because it's important. Why is it important? Because there were some in the church who were teaching that you could become spiritually perfect. When Paul uses the word apprehended three times, it's not because he's forgetful, it's because he's intentional. And what he's trying to do is correct the error that was in the church. There were some who were saying that in this life that you can reach the place of spiritual perfection. The Judaizers in the group were saying that if you were obeying the law, that you could get to the point that you were spiritually perfect. There are actually some descendants of these folks today who are saying that you can reach spiritual perfection. But Paul was saying, he said, brethren, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've been saved, but I'm not perfect, is what he's saying. And what a blow it must have been to the theological heresy of that day to hear the Apostle Paul saying, hey, I'm not perfect yet. And if Paul's not, then they are not either. And I will say this today, as long as we live in an unredeemed body, and as long as Satan is throwing his fiery darts around, the Christian life is going to be struggle. There's always going to be temptation. That's no excuse for failure, but it's saying to us that we need to understand that this is a war that we're involved in. It's a battle that we're involved in. So Paul was, first of all, he was correcting the error there in the first part of verse 13. But the most important part of verse 13 is the latter part of it, where the Bible says he was also now concentrating. You notice what Paul said? He said, but this one thing I do. One thing is a prominent phrase in your Bible. You'll find it mentioned several times. I'll give you a couple of them. One is whenever Jesus took to a lady that I call her busy Martha. He said in Luke chapter 10, verse 42, he said, one thing is needful, one thing. The blind man said in John chapter 10, verse 25, he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Whenever Jesus spoke to the rich young ruler, I just throw this one in as well. He said, one thing thou lackest. One thing seems to be important in the Christian way. So Paul said, this one thing I do. He said, forgetting what's in my past and reaching forward to what's in my future. So I would sum it like this. He was saying, number one, he said, I'm forgetting the past, and number two, I'm focusing on the future. That's a good word for New Year's Day, is it not? Forgetting that which is in the past and focusing upon that which is in the future. When he says forgetting that's in the past, forgetting doesn't mean to fail to remember. The word forgetting, there's a word which means to not be influenced by. I'm not going to any longer be influenced by things that are in the past. Paul had some great victories in the past. I mean, he had won some people to Christ. He had established some churches. He had corrected some errors. He had done many wonderful things. But what Paul said, he said, I'm now forgetting things that are in the past. By the way, and if he's comparing this Christian life to being like a race, what he's saying was, whenever you run the race, you forget what's in the past. You're not looking behind you, he said, but you're looking ahead of you and you're focusing on the future, reaching. It's an athletic term, by the way, that describes somebody who is running a race and they come to the finish line, they come to the tape, and they're reaching with all their might to be able to go across the finish line at the very first. So you're forgetting the past and focusing on the future. If you're in an athletic race, whether Paul was talking about running a race or a chariot race, it's not good advice to look behind you. Now, it's dangerous if you're running a race to look behind you, but it would be deadly if you're in a chariot race to look behind you. And so Paul was saying, no, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm focusing on those things that are the future. And that's good advice for you and for me. That is, we don't need to be thinking about things in the past, because the achievements that you have, they will tend to inflate you, and the defeats that you've had, they will tend to deflate you. So don't be influenced by the things of the past. Be focusing on the things that are on the future, because there's mountains to be climbed and there's victories to be won. So as you're running the Christian race, 2022 has closed, 2023 is wide open. So Paul was saying, here's what I'm doing. I'm forgetting the past. I'm focusing on the future. Whenever I was studying this sermon, I had a great illustration to share with you about how dangerous it is whenever you're running the race to look behind you. But I'm not going to share that illustration with you today, because I got a more current one watching a football game last night. I know many of you were watching the football game last night. And you may recall, there was a running back for the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, if you're a Bulldog fan, I'm not putting him down, okay? Please understand that. I don't want to fight that battle today. But as I was watching the ball game, there was a running back. I think his name was McIntosh, and I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. But he was running for a touchdown. And he was so wide open, running for a touchdown. He was so wide open that the announcer, you may recall, said, he's going to score a touchdown. But you know what happened to Mr. McIntosh? As he was running wide open, he looked over his shoulder to see if there was anybody following him. And as soon as he did, I think at about the 15-yard line, he stumbled and fell and landed about the 10 wide open. And as I sat there watching that ball game, I thought, that's exactly what Paul was talking about. Forgetting those things which are behind. Keep your focus on the goal. I would submit to you that if he'd looked at the goal, he would have been dancing in the end zone all by himself. Paul was saying that not about running the Christian race, but he was talking about crossing the finish line as a child of God. I'm saying to you today, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, don't be influenced by the things of the past. Be focused upon those things that are in the future. And again, no matter how young you are or how old you are, there's still lots of race to be run. So don't quit before you finish. One last thing. Look at verse 14. Verse 14 is, I think, probably one of the most familiar verses in all the book of Philippians. But in verse 14, Paul said this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The aim of the Christian life is Christ-likeness. You know, the Bible says that we are being conformed into the image of His dear Son. Now, you look at your life, I look at my life today, and I'll say, if believers in Christ, one day, we will be like Jesus. I've got a long ways to go. I'm not there yet, but my Bible says, one day I will be like Jesus Christ. But until that day, I'm running this race. I'm not where I need to be, but yet I'm trying to be more like Christ. So I want to look at verse 14. I'll say three things to you about verse 14, about this Christian race. Number one, it's an endurance race. He said, I press. The Christian life, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And oh, listen, how good to be able to come to the end of the line and like Paul say, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. That's the goal, right? But until that time, he said, I press. It's an endurance race. The word press, there is a word that really means to bear down. It means to give maximum effort. When I was in high school and I played on our high school baseball team, I was a pitcher. And at those times, whenever I was pitching and I maybe I couldn't find the strike zone or maybe the bases were loaded, and the coach would come to the mound. And oftentimes the coach would come to me and he'd say something like this. He said, Keith, you need to bear down. I knew what he meant. He said, you need to focus. He was saying you need to give maximum effort. I have to ask you the question today, as I ask myself the question, are you giving maximum effort? I'm not talking about to your job. I'm not talking about to your studies, young people. I'm not talking about to the things that you like to do that are kind of your hobbies. I'm talking about in your Christian life, are you giving maximum effort? Are you bearing down? Or is the Christian life just something that's kind of a side thing for you and you just, it's part of your life, but it's really not the fabric of your life? Paul said, I press. I'm giving maximum effort. It is an endurance race. Secondly, it is an enriching race. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize. And I think the prize is Christ-likeness. To be like Christ, that's the goal, to be like Christ. I would suggest to you that's better than a ribbon. That's better than a medal. That's better than a trophy, to be like Christ. The goal of everyone in this room today who names the name of Jesus Christ ought to be to say, I want to be like Christ. There's an old song we used to sing, Do Others See Jesus in You? When you're at school, whenever you're at work, whenever you're in the marketplace, do others see Jesus in you? And I must confess to you that oftentimes I fail miserably at letting others see Jesus in me, but that ought to be my goal, was I'm pressing toward the mark, the prize, Christ-likeness in my life. Thirdly, it is an enthralling race because Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize, listen, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the high calling of God? The high calling of God is to one day to be ushered, listen to this, to be ushered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Being ushered into the very throne room of God. Paul was taking this very seriously as he looked at his Christian life, and that's what I'm trying to get you today, is to take this very seriously, this thing called Christianity, and say, I want to be Christ-like in my life. And so the question then becomes, well, how do you become Christ-like? If you'd say to me, Pastor, yeah, I'm with Paul. I want to know him better. I want to have a more intimate relationship. I want to be more like Jesus. I want others to see Jesus in me. How do I become more Christ-like? Well, I'll tell you, it's not by hearing more sermons on how to be Christ-like. It's not by reading more books about how to be Christ-like. It's not like by watching more Christian movies about or watching more podcasts on how to be Christ-like. If you're going to win the race and be Christ-like, you have to discipline yourself like an athlete. And so many of us in this modern world, we don't even like that word discipline. But we have to discipline ourselves to become Christ-like. I suggest four things to you real quickly. You want to be more Christ-like. Number one, study the Word of God. I cannot say to you too strongly, as I've said, tried to stay on almost 26 years now from this pulpit, read your Bible. Learn your Bible. Get in the Word of God. The Word of God will get into you. Spend time in the Word of God. Out in the hallway today, there are some Bible reading plans. If you have never read your Bible all the way through an entire year, I would challenge you. I would encourage you to do that. Pick one of those up and read your Bible. Not just so at the end of the year that you can say, oh, I read my Bible through. No, so that the Word of God can take root in your heart and it will make you more like Jesus Christ. Study your Bible. Man, if you read your Bible as much as you read your cell phone, you would be a spiritual giant. Hit a nerve there, didn't I? If you treated your Bible like you treat your cell phone. Oh man, where's my cell phone? I lost my cell phone. Oh, I forgot. What if you treated your Bible like that? I got to read this book every day. Spend time in this book every day. If you want to become Christ-like, study your Bible. Number two, I could talk more about that. Number two, spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. Oftentimes, the confession of believers in Christ is, you know, I just don't pray like I ought to. That's nothing to brag about. But we need to pray more. I need to pray more. You need to pray more. We need to spend time talking to God. That's what prayer is, by the way. Some people will say, well, I just don't know how to pray. Prayer is having a conversation with God. And by the way, a conversation ought to be a two-way conversation, you know? Talk to God. Let God talk to you. Spend some time in your Bible. Spend some time in prayer. Number three, I would suggest to you this to you. Surround yourself with godly people. Boy, that's so important in the world that we live in today. You ought to surround yourself with godly people. You say, how do I do that? I'll tell you one way to do that. Come to the house of God. Be faithful to the house of God. By the way, coming to church once a month is not really being faithful. Some people think, oh, I'm faithful. I'm there once a month. Let me ask you, if your car started once every four times you got in it, would you call it faithful? Probably not. Surround yourself with godly people. That's important because I'll tell you this, everywhere out there, there are ungodly people. I hope you parents are listening to me today too because your children are being inundated by these kinds of people. Programs that they watch, the music that they listen to, the websites they visit, the peer pressure is unbelievable. If you're going to be Christ-like, you better surround yourself with godly people. You better be faithful to the church of Jesus Christ. Your best friends ought to be God's people. Number four, stay faithful during trials. You want to be Christ-like? Stay faithful during trials. You know why some people who used to come here and don't come here now? Some trial came in their life and they quit coming to church. Stay faithful during trials. No matter what comes your way. Listen, there's nothing that will ever come your way that will change the character of God. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, it doesn't change the character of God. He is still worthy of your service and your faithfulness to Him. So spend some time in the Word of God. Spend some time in prayer. Surround yourself with godly people and stay faithful during trials. And don't look back. Keep looking forward. And whatever you do, don't quit before you finish. Now, some of you today, I'm speaking to the church. I'm speaking to believers in Christ today. I understand. And I'm trying to say to you that the race is not over. The end may be in sight, but it's not over. It's not over till the trumpet sounds, all right? So we need to run and be faithful to Christ until the trumpet sounds. But for some of you today, some of you may have quit before you finished. There's probably somebody watching me. I don't know what camera I need to talk to right now. Let's talk to that one right there. There are some of you who used to come to the house of God, and you don't come to the house of God anymore. You quit before you finished. There's some of you sitting in this room today. You used to sing in this choir, and you don't sing anymore. You quit before you finished. There's some of you used to play in the orchestra. You don't play anymore. You quit before you finished. There's some of you who used to teach a connection group, a class, but you quit now. You quit before you finished. There's some of you who used to be a soul winner, but you haven't told anybody about Jesus in a long time. You've quit before you finished. You hear what I'm saying today? Listen, there's still much to be done as believers in Jesus Christ. What a great day for us to evaluate our lives and say, God, I don't want to quit before I finish. I don't want to quit until you call me home. As long as my heart is beating, as long as I have breath, there's something God wants me to do. And I want to be faithful to the end. I want to finish the race that God has called me to run. I hope that's your heart desire as well. But some of you, you need to get in the race. Some of you haven't started. There's somebody in this room today, you haven't started because you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. You don't know what it is to have your sins forgiven and know that you have a home in heaven. You don't have that peace. You're not in the race. That's where you need to get started. You need to, first of all, give your life to Jesus Christ. Some of you in this room today, you need to not only, maybe you've given your heart to Christ, but you've not become a part of this fellowship. Now, you might say, Westside Baptist Church is my church, but you're really not a member of this church. And you're not serving in some capacity in this church, this would be a good time to say, you know what, it's time for me to really do what God's been calling me to do. And if God wants you to become a part of this fellowship, you ought to come today. I don't know what God may be calling you to do. Some of you today just need to get in the race and need to get serious about this thing called Christianity. And whenever you get in the race, and you start running with the apostle, like the apostle Paul said, just make sure that you don't quit before you finish. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Father, today, we thank you for your presence in this room. And Lord, I pray that you speak, first of all, the heart of your church. Lord, there are many here who are believers in Jesus Christ. And there may be some in this room today who've been running this race for a long, long time. But as far as their faithfulness to you and their service to you, they quit. God, I pray today you stir their heart. I pray you speak your truth, your will to every person who names the name of Jesus today. Father, help us to examine our lives in light of your word. And Lord, as we look at a new year, may this be a day that we would recommit our hearts to you and our lives to you. And resolve today to say, God, I'm not going to quit before I finish. I want to keep serving you. And Lord, in this room today, there may be some who have never taken that step of faith. They've never asked the Lord Jesus to forgive their sin and be their Savior, and they know they need to do that. Lord, I pray that you'd help somebody in this room settle their eternal destiny once and for all. Somebody here having doubts and questions and worries about where they're going to spend eternity. I pray that today would be the day that they would come and say, I want to settle this in my life. I'm giving my heart to Jesus today. So Lord, as we begin a new year, I pray that we'll take this moment very seriously and that we'll do what you're asking us to do. Please, God, have your way in every life in this room. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.